tablets and other new mobile devices are making their way into the workplace and need seamless access to network resources. Today, we're going to discuss architecture that enables you to connect anyone, anywhere, anytime, on any device to your network and do it securely and reliably. I'm James Hilliard, your host for this episode of Connection Point, where we are speaking with Michael Glue. He is Borderless Network's Business Development Manager at Cisco. Mike has more than 15 years' experience integrating technology into organization services and business practices. He's been a Borderless Network expert with Cisco since the founding of the architecture group 3 years ago. He is here to describe the key components of Borderless Network Architecture, BNA, and how it can make your organization more mobile and more productive. And Mike, really appreciate you taking time and joining us today.
It's great to be here.
Want to start off giving our listeners really a good background, good foundation for our chat today. Exactly what does borderless network architecture encompass, and what's it really doing to address some of the trends that are reshaping the work environment these days?
So what borderless networks does is that it, instead of taking a product-centric approach, it takes a more collaborative approach, leveraging routing, switching, wireless, and security. And we develop products together so that these products not only operate together more efficiently, but by having a combined development and marketing plan around these products, we can actually better define and offer a whole host of value-added services that from selling these products together. Some of these services might include things like being able to support media and collaboration applications, being able to support all of the new mobile devices and the whole mobility picture for a customer. Could be also maybe supporting energy savings, power savings. You know, by having all these different components working together and not having a product-centric approach, we can offer these services and have really more high-value conversations with our customers than we ever could have before.
Let's dive deeper here, focusing on that consumerization of IT, the fact that all the iPhones and iPads and all these other devices are coming in. How does a borderless network architecture help the IT groups out there keep that network secure while at the same time accommodating all of us that want to bring in our own devices?
So what's happened is, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, IT supplied all of the devices. And what's happened is customers have started to realize that, well, maybe, hey, if my employees bring in their own devices, one, I don't have to pay for them anymore, and two, these are devices they like to use, so they'll use them more. So my employees, if I allow them to use these devices, will become more efficient and more productive. The problem is that the old approach did allow for one thing, which was better sort of command and control over not only the devices, but better command and control over the information. So what IT is facing is not only a dilemma as to how do they manage all these devices, but how do they also maintain data integrity so that if as information is accessed on these devices and people are sort of coming and going within different environments, that the information that's on the device is secure, and when these personal devices come onto the network, that these personal devices aren't doing anything to sort of pollute the network or contaminate the network with any viruses or things like that that they might have had. In creating this architecture, we've also had an evolution in as far as what we're doing from a security standpoint. So the security standpoint, when you had enterprise command and control, was very designed around putting, you know, antivirus software on computers and things like that. And now organizations can't do that since they don't control the endpoint. So what we've done is that we've consolidated and leveraged the broad portfolio of security devices that we have and the information that they carry and distributed that information everywhere throughout all customer networks. So if you've got security endpoints, VPN infrastructure, web security appliance, they're all leveraging all of the known threats and information out there. That information is shared. And as these new mobile devices connect into the network via the VPN, then they're getting all of the available information that's out there about Trojan viruses, other malware and threats that might occur to all these individual devices. The network is guiding those particular personal devices away from these threats. So the device stays healthy. When the device comes back on the network stays healthy. And then by having these devices all leveraging our VPN web security infrastructure, we're also sort of protecting and maintaining the data that's out there as well, so that, you know, if users want to go ahead and access information in the cloud, the only way they can access that information in the cloud is to go through the network, is to leverage their VPN and web security appliances. And what we've done is we've taken the ability away from someone to take their own personal device and go directly to that information in the cloud. So we've created a sort of a command and control over all the information that can be out there in the cloud and that might be accessible in the web. So that creates better data integrity. We're also taking a look at understanding what and when people can access this information. So a senior executive, you might allow him to access information when they're on their laptop. You might not want to allow them to access particular types of information if they're on their own personal device, like an iPad or something like that. You might want to be able to allow them to access information based on not maybe what the device is, but where they are. You know, if they're not in a secure network environment, you might not want to allow them to do that. So we've created an infrastructure also that with the integrated services engine, in that we can go ahead and create all sorts of different types of users and have the network intelligence throughout the infrastructure to understand who this person is, what device are they on, where are they, and the network is intelligent enough to make decisions as to whether or not this same person can have access to information based on a whole host of parameters as well. So there's a lot going on with what we're doing with endpoint security, and it really is meeting the demands that customers face with all these new devices hitting the network.
No, it sounds like it. I want to go back to two ideas that you brought up a bit earlier. We'll take about a moment or so on each one of these, but another big trend out there, real-time collaboration, even the use of video conferencing back and forth. What's Cisco doing there to support that and still maintain good network performance? Rich media video takes a lot of bandwidth.
A couple things that we're doing there is the network is becoming more and more intelligent so that where people connect into the network, whether it's wireless or physically connected over a wired network, having a network that's intelligent enough to understand what this endpoint is and being able to sort of, you know, auto-configure devices so that as these new video endpoints get implemented throughout the network, a lot of times it doesn't necessarily have to involve IT. And then, you know, once you have that awareness of sort of auto-awareness of what the endpoint is like, and the type of video that's going to be going across that network, the network can then understand how that particular video is going to perform. So what we've done with our switching and routing infrastructure is also not treating all video the same. So what we've done on the network is not only to be able to understand the different types of video and create a solid connection path from one endpoint to another, is that we can discern the different types of video, prioritize that video based on, you know, what type it is and what its needs are. But then we can also look at, you know, who the user is as well. And so is it the CEO? Is it a guest? What type of traffic? Are they doing a telepresence session? Or are they streaming, you know, last night's baseball highlights? So we're doing a lot with the video to understand the endpoints, to understand the type of traffic, and to understand who the user is, and then making intelligent decisions automatically to optimize the network to support all of that video traffic that's out there.
One other thing you brought up earlier was the idea of reducing some costs, energy efficiency. Again, what's the borderless network architecture doing on that front? A lot of folks are having that green thumb these days.
So energy is a great thing to bring up with customers, and it's something that actually, you know, you can actually show a nice hard ROI with, especially if you're in an environment where the customer might be more, you know, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, especially. That in that the issue, what we can do there is not only can we, you can have the network be set up so that it will intelligently power down known Cisco infrastructure devices like access points and phones, so that, you know, if they know the environment's dark, you know, none of these endpoints have to be using power. You know, the rest of the switching infrastructure, you know, that all these devices can be or is connected to is powering down. What we can also do is the desktops and other peripheral devices that might be connected into the network can also be put to sleep using EnergyWise Orchestrator. So what we can do now is not only control how much power is consumed with Cisco devices, but with non-Cisco devices as well through the EnergyWise Orchestrator. So again, if you've got, you know, a lot of customers who have a lot of downtime, we can really show some significant power savings. Orchestrator is evolving into also integrating with other building management tools as well. So things that might come from companies like Johnson Controls that are controlling HVAC systems, lighting systems, security camera systems, and so forth, are all also going to be able to integrate with Orchestrator. So the purview of what we're managing there throughout the network will expand into an even broader set of infrastructure that all consumes a lot of power.
Yeah, it sounds like advances here can make a big drastic change on our big city skylines and see a lot of those office buildings dark.
That's part of the idea. And one of the other things, too, is that also looking at things like tying in into our physical security infrastructure or other companies' physical security infrastructure, so that when the network, if a building is dark and people come in leveraging, using their building badges and so forth, having the network intelligent enough not to turn the lights on everywhere, but to turn the lights on potentially, or turn on an access point, or turn on their particular phone, understanding, you know, who that user is, where they are, and where they work, and only, you know, have the power necessary to support that particular user who happens to be maybe visiting the office on a Saturday when no one else is.
Yeah, no, definitely a cool vision I'm getting in my head there. Let me do this. Let me ask you, as we look to wrap up here, Mike, what are our listeners really need to do to prepare their network environment, to get an idea where they stand now so that they can successfully implement borderless network architecture and devices from Cisco?
So the first thing that everyone should do is to look at their customers and to offer them an assessment so that you have a better understanding of what their infrastructure is, what their needs are going to be, especially in regards to supporting some of these higher value services. And then you can better adequately position new technologies to meet these emerging business needs based on the existing components of their network, and what are the gaps with that network to meet their overall reaching business needs, whether that be power or media and so forth, some of those other business values we've talked about with borderless networks.
Hey, Mike, really appreciate the time today.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, a big thank you to our listeners as well. If you would like more information on Cisco borderless networks, you can turn to the PC Connection family of companies. Just contact your account manager today to learn more about starting your next IT project with an assessment and engaging their on-staff experts. Head online to pcconnection.com or call 1-800-800-0014. You can also send us an email, connect@pcconnection.com. I'm James Hilliard, and that concludes this installment of Connection Point.